How many of you learned something last night you never heard before? But it's all been right there in your Bible. Amen? So you're going to hear some more things tonight. Maybe you've never heard of it. But it's going to be in the Word of God. You see, I believe the Word of God is alive. Amen. It's quick. Amen. Which is what that's what the Bible says. The Word of God is quick and powerful. So I believe it's still alive. I believe it's perfect. I believe the design of everything in this world is to be found in your Bible. I think the blueprint of the universe is right here in this Bible. And I just have an inquisitive mind. I ask a lot of questions. And God taught me years ago that I could ask Him the questions. He said in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Amen. And I could look back 15, 16, 17 years ago. I didn't know any of this stuff that I'm going to present to you tonight, but God just sort of gave it to me. He gave me some help. I have a friend who is an ER doctor. His name is Dr. Chuck Thurston. He's the first guy years ago that introduced me to the idea that our cells and our body was a picture of the wilderness tabernacle. And what that means is in every fiber of our being, we are the dwelling place of God. So we invite God into our life. We want to invite God into this place tonight. So now we learned that our body is the temple. What is it that makes our body? That's what we're going to learn about tonight. You see, you like my tie? That's my DNA tie. Okay, I actually have three of them. I had people send me ties with DNA on it. And then we have a lady, bless her heart, her name is Donna. I call her Donna the software lady. She writes software for a living. And she wrote us for our ministry what I call the Pure Bible Search software. Now, we don't have copies of it here tonight, but they will be here Thursday and Friday. And if you have a computer, whether it's a Windows machine, a Linux computer, or a Mac computer, you can take this software. It's free software. Install it on your computer, and it'll search the King James Bible for you. All you have to do is type in the word or the phrase, or you can include two words together like heaven and earth, and it'll find every verse in the Bible that has those two words in it. If you want to look for all the places where the name Jesus is in the Bible, it'll give you every place in there. That is how I study the Bible. The Bible says, preach the word, and a lot of times God will give me a word, and I'll go through the entire King James Bible, and I'll search out that word and find out what God said about that rather than what a commentary said about it. Do you remember the Bereans? In the book of Acts, what were they noted for? They searched the scriptures. The apostles preached the doctrine. The Bereans were noble enough, and they said, you know what? We like that, but here's what we're going to do. Before we believe it, before we sign on to it, we're going to search the scriptures to see whether these things be true or not. And I want you to think about that. Back in those days, what did they have? Scrolls. And they were hard to come by. It would have taken months, if not years, for those people to study all of those Old Testament scriptures out to see whether what these guys were saying were true. We live in an age right now. You see, I've got a laptop here. I've got a tablet here. My phone is a computer. I've got computers everywhere. If you've got a phone, you can put a Bible search program on that phone, whether it's iPhone or Android or Windows, and you too can search the scriptures. There is no, in the age that we live in right now, we can search out something in 5 minutes that it took the Bereans months to search out. There is so much information out there now and a way to access it. And yet it seems like in our churches, brother, they're more ignorant of the Word of God than they are knowledgeable of it. And today, there is no excuse for that. Can I hear you say amen? So I want to encourage you. I'm going to challenge you this week. You're going to get back in your Bible this week, or God's going to know the reason why not. Amen? So that's what I want to do. I want to encourage you to search the Scriptures, because I could be up here lying through my teeth. I don't want to. I don't believe I am. But it is your responsibility to test everything that I say against the Word of God. Amen? Right. It has final authority over us. But anyway, we'll have that. And by the way, we've got little handout sheets that are back here on this table. We tried to bring some of the DVDs we have. That is not all of them. I do a video teaching once a week, every week, that I call the Watchman Video Broadcast. It goes out on the internet. I then teach Sunday school. I preach Sunday morning sermon. I preach Sunday night at our church. I preach Wednesday night at our church. Twice a week, I do a live broadcast over the internet called Pastor Mike Online, and I'm in the Bible both of those times for 2 hours a day, Tuesday and Thursday. And then on Wednesday, I do another Bible study that goes out over the internet. 8 times a week, every week, I preach the Word of God, and I'm upset at myself if I don't make all 8 of them in the same week. Okay? Listen, I'm not no Superman. I'm not no special guy. But I want to get out this Bible as much as I can in the lifetime that I have to live. This is what I'm here for. And I want to encourage you, get in the book, get in the book. And so our daughter's going to come down Thursday, and she's going to bring a big truckload of DVDs. Now, if you will go through that catalog tonight, let's see, it's Monday night, right? Monday night and Tuesday night, and get it to us after Tuesday night, we can get those to our daughter Wednesday. And I got 3 daughters that work at our church. They can make those DVDs that you want on there, and she'll bring them up Thursday. How's that for service? Is that good enough? Okay. Now, if you don't make the Tuesday night deadline, keep that. Get it to us. Either hand it to us before we get out of here Friday night, or send it to us in the mail, and then we'll send you the DVDs that you want on that list. Is that good enough for you? Okay. For your love offering of nothing. Okay. God got onto me years ago about charging for the videos that we put out. Okay? Let me tell you the little secret behind Christian ministry. I'm going to dig into some places here in a little bit. These ministries that you'll see on the internet, on TV, you hear them on radio, they'll say for your love offering of $75 plus $20 shipping and handling, we'll send you these 2 DVD disc sets on this powerful teaching that you must have. If you call them and tell them you don't have the $75, you don't get anything. They're going to make you pay $75 for these 2 or 3 DVDs. Now, let me tell you about the DVDs back here. It costs us about 32 cents a disc to buy them blank. 32 cents. We buy a bunch of them every month, okay? It costs us about a nickel for that little piece of paper that we stick that in, okay? It costs us maybe 3 or 4 cents to print the label on it. Okay, so what are we out? About 40 cents, 50 cents, something like that? That's how much it cost us to make a disc. And for me to turn around and sell it to you for $25, my conscience tears me up. Okay, I don't believe that's right because I know what it cost. Okay, so they're yours if you want them. Now, somebody has to pay for them. If you want to donate, we got a little box back there. Just stick that in there. We don't care how much it is, how little it is. God blesses. God's always blessed. We've never run out of money, and that's the way I like it. Hey, can I hear God's people say amen? Amen. Amen. God gave it all to me free. He didn't charge me a dime for it, so I don't feel like I should charge God's people. If it's that powerful and you need to have it, here it is. Amen. Amen? It'd be like if you came to my house and I could see you were starving to death, you hadn't eaten in days, and you needed a meal, I would say, sure, come on in. I'm a Christian. Come on and sit down here at my table. Here, have some eggs, have some bacon, have some sausage, have some gravy on that. Boy, I got some iced tea for you. The orange juice, here. And you want coffee? I got coffee for you. The bill's only going to be $15. That's not Christianity, is it?
No, it's not.
That's not right. Okay? So this is how God has laid on my heart to do. I want to give here. I didn't come here to take. I came here to give. And I want to give you what God has laid on my heart. You see the verse up there on the screen tonight? Psalm 139:16. We brought that to your mind last night. Kind of told you a little bit about it. Last night, I was moving kind of slow. Okay? Tonight, we're going to speed up a little bit. So get ready. All right? Psalm 139:16. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book. I want you to notice that's underlined there. In thy book. Can you think of a verse in the Bible that has the word book in it? Okay, maybe you can't, but I promise you after tonight, when you see it in a verse, you're going to pay attention to it. You're going to see something and understand something that you never thought of before. In thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Let me ask you a question. How old is this church right here? The whole church. When did it start? Seventy-five years ago? Glory to God. There's still a church 75 years old. That means God's not done with it yet. Amen? Did you know when they started this church, the people that are in this church now were not sitting here 75 years ago? And a church is a body. Is it not? In thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance was fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. The people that are part of this church now were not here 75 years ago. But God has been doing what God does. He adds to the body. He builds it and he grows it. And how does he do it? By the book. Amen? A church that will not do it by the book, in my opinion, is no church. They're not the body. I'll prove it to you tonight. Notice this, we covered this last night. The first occurrence of the word book in the King James Bible, Genesis chapter 5, this is the book of the generations. Notice the word gene in the word generations. It refers to the generations. Adam passed down his genes, his genetic, to his son, who passed it down to his son, who passed it down to his son. Noah ended up with it. He had three sons. By the way, there are three major races of humans on this planet: Mongoloid, Negroid, Caucasoid. Noah had three sons. They are the progenitors of those races. And the DNA or the genetics that Adam had in him, he passed down to the three sons of Noah. And Adam still lives today in every human being that is on this planet. Can you imagine that? That's something. The first New Testament occurrence of the word book is in Matthew chapter 1. This is the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. And if you look in Matthew chapter 1, what you'll see is the lineage starting from Abraham going all the way down to Jesus Christ. It literally is a book of his. It is what Jesus inherited in him. And notice that it's from Abraham. God made a promise to Abraham and to his seed. Seed in the Bible means DNA. It means this. Who in here plants? Who grows things? How do you start it? And everything that you poke down in the ground is this book right here. Everything that you plant contains genetic information that determines what that plant is going to look like when it grows. But what you put in the ground did not look like what came out of it. Somebody say amen. Amen. How you started when you became a Christian is nowhere near what you are now, what God has made you. Somebody say amen. But you can get happy with me. It's all right. Amen. Notice this. Notice Philippians 4:3. And I entreat thee also, thou true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of what? That's what this is. If it has this, it has life, all right? Revelation 20:15, whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Notice this, watch this now. Here's a visualization now of what David was writing 3,000 years ago. In thy book, all my members were written. We've got fingers. We've got elbows. We've got armpits. Amen? We've got lips. We've got toes. Mine's still broke. We've got eyes. And I want to encourage every pastor and every church member here in this. God did not make in my body, and Paul teaches this in 1 Corinthians 12. He's talking about there are differences of administrations, differences of gifts. There are different parts to the body. I have five children, and none of them are exactly alike. In fact, all of them are as different as night and day from each other. But they both contain characteristics of me and my wife, and she and I are not really the same. But they are different and unique in their own way. But all of them came from myself and my wife. And I want you to understand this. Not everybody in a church body is going to be the same. We're not all going to see the same way. We're not all going to understand the same way. And we're not all going to do the same things in the body.
That's right.
Some members of the church, some members of the family, they're strong, they're tough. Like elbow. Everybody reach out and grab a hunk of your elbow skin and just pinch it as hard as you can pinch. Does that hurt anybody? Is that hurting you? You know what? Elbow skin has to be tough, doesn't it? When I fell the other day, I landed partially on my elbow and it hurt, but it didn't do a lot of damage because I got some tough skin. Listen, my elbow is a forklift. Amen. That skin needs to be tough, doesn't it? The hands, the different skin here, it's got to be tough, doesn't it? Now, everybody reach right under here. Grab a hunk of that and twist it. Oh, see, that skin's different, isn't it? That skin's soft. Listen, there's some people in the church that are like this. You can't hurt them for money. You can't hurt them. They're not bothered. They're tough. They're thick skin. They can go through trials and tribulations. They're tough. Some people are here. This is me, believe it or not. I'm a little sissy wimp a lot of times. I'm real thin-skinned. I'm easy to offend. You can hurt me real easily. But let me tell you something. I don't know if you've ever noticed this. Guys working outside, when they're working out in the summertime and they put the shovel down and put the tools down, they'll stand there for a minute like this. In summertime, we'll stand like this. Do you know why? This skin, especially right here and right here, is thin because it allows for the easy transference of heat. And in the summertime, we'll hold our arms out like this, and we're letting heat escape out of our body as the wind blows. Am I telling you right, guys? In wintertime, we're like this. Why? We're holding it in. God made everybody in a church the way He wanted them, and they serve a purpose in His image. They do what He designed them to do. And some of them are not the comely parts. Amen? No guy ever looks at a young lady and says, look at them armpits on that gal. Woo! Amen? Some of the people are going, Pastor, where did you get this guy? Off the internet. He was cheap. Okay? But listen, Paul said the more comely parts, they don't serve the greatest purpose. I don't show you my feet and toes because I think they're pretty ugly, but they serve the purpose of me being able to stand tonight. And if you've got people in your church that are not the pretty ones on the stage and they can't sing and they can't speak very good, but they're not about to move away from the doctrines that God gave you, they are the feet and the foundation of that church, and they will help that church stand. Amen. Boy, that's good, isn't it? Amen. See, God designs His body the way He wants it. And folks, it's all right here in the book. You can find, if you look, Pastor, you can find everybody in your church in a character or a symbol right here in this Bible. Well, that's good, isn't it? Amen. Y'all ready to go home yet?
No.
Notice that the Bible was not all written by the same man. Moses wrote the first five books. You have Enoch or Elijah, they spoke. John the Baptist spoke. Paul taught. John, Saul, the New Jerusalem. David was the song leader. He wrote the Psalms. Notice how every part of the Bible is different because they had a different hand. Right, they are still God's words, but God used the character and the nature of that man to write out what He wanted in that place. In thy book, all my members were written. Now, let's apply it this way. This is how it looks genetically. In thy book, the book starts out here with DNA. At the moment of conception, the father has submitted 23 chromosomes. The mother has submitted 23 chromosomes. They're united together. Now this child has 46 chromosomes in one cell. The cell at conception does not look like the adult, but it is forming. In thy book, all my members were written. You see that picture up there, the family? All those members were written out in the book, which in continuance was fashioned as that embryo develops into a fetus. It's becoming more and more of what it was designed to be. Do not expect new church members and new Christians to be like you guys that have been here for 40, 50 years. God started them out when they were nothing. And yet, the more time goes on and the more they are fed from the Word of God, they grow and they mature and they turn into exactly what their Father wanted them to be. Boy, that's good. Somebody say amen. That's good preaching. Amen. Now let's apply it globally. Let's apply it to the, because there's more than one church here. I've got one in Festus. You got one here. There's more than one church represented here tonight. Amen? Let's just assume then that even though we don't agree on certain areas of doctrine, let's just believe that maybe God had a reason for that. I know a guy. He's an independent Baptist preacher. I love him to death. He and I don't belong in the same room together for too long. I pray for him all the time. He is somebody that can, he goes out and where he lives up in Michigan in the city, and he gets out in the worst place in the city and he street preaches as sodomites walk by and curse him and spit on him and threaten him, as liberals and lesbians and everybody else goes by and hollers at him. He stands there tough and preaches to them. Now, let me tell you something. He's not leading people to Jesus right and left out there doing that. But let me tell you something. This world is going to hear from its men of God in these last days a last warning, so that when God destroys this nation, they're not going to stand before God and say, "We didn't know. Yes, I sent that guy out there to preach and all you did was spit on him." Amen. Now, see, I can't do that. I'm not designed to street preach. I get scared. I'll throw up. I'll run. But you put me in front of a camera and a microphone and I'm... Okay? I'm good at that. God didn't design us all the same. We're all not going to see eye to eye on certain doctrines. But God makes the body how He wants, because that church over here is going to do something that this church over here, God didn't design them to do. Makes sense now, doesn't it? So in thy book, look up here, all thy members were written. I used the churches in Kenya that I go to see. They're still God's people over there. In fact, they got a warmth sometimes that I don't find here in America. Okay? All thy members were written from the beginning of creation until the end. Let me tell you something. Did not God say that He would have their name written in the book of life? Did you know that according to the Bible, you were in Adam in the Garden of Eden? You were. You were in his loins in the Garden of Eden. Remember what Paul taught in Hebrews about Levi paying tithes to Melchizedek while he was yet in Abraham's loins? Levi was in Abraham at the time that Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. You and I were in Adam when he was in the garden. Think about it. Okay? From the moment of creation, God wrote in Adam every human being that was going to be alive on this earth. God put them in there. Wow. Likewise, in his book of life in heaven, God already wrote out everybody who's going to be in heaven from the beginning. See, we were elect from the foundation of the earth. Now, I'm not talking predestination like God just chooses. However, what I'm telling you is God had a foreknowledge of you coming down to an altar and pouring your guts out to God. And God knew it. And God had, look here, his name is, Lord, should we write his name in the book? Oh, it's already been here from the creation of the world.
Amen.
All my members were written. Watch this. Look at that picture up there. Which in continuance was fashioned. Because there are still people in Gainesville, Missouri that have not been saved yet that will be saved. God is still adding to the body.
Yes. Amen.
Think about what you looked like when you were 8. Think about what you looked like when you were 20. God added to the body. Did he not? Yeah. And then we had to do something about getting some of it out. Amen. No, that was our fault. When as yet there was none of them. You were not in church on the day of Pentecost. But God knew you would be. Boy, that's good. I like this stuff. Amen. Watch this. Here's what happened. God said in Deuteronomy 31, remember, God told Moses, write it all down. Write all the laws down that I gave you. Write it in a book. And he wrote it in a book. And he said, take the book of the law and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. So we learned this last night about the temple. Moses took the book that he wrote out, rolled it up as a scroll, put it inside the Ark of the Covenant, inside the most holy place. And what that's a picture of is that your DNA and the chromosomes are in the nucleus of every cell in your body, just like God commanded Moses to do. So there's that picture there. What know you not that your body is the temple? We have the cell. We have the cell wall or the cell membrane. We have the mitochondria, which is the altar. That's where the food is burnt. And then we have the nucleus of the cell where the book is written inside the chromosomes. And here's Moses' book rolled up, put inside the most holy place. Even in Solomon's temple, he called it the oracle. Why did he call it the oracle? It was the most holy place. Why did he call it the oracle? Ora means the word spoken. That's what he called that place. He put it, the oracle, the most holy place. He put that book in the Ark of the Covenant inside the most holy place. DNA stands for, everybody say this out loud with me. Deoxyribonucleic acid. DNA. Aren't you glad God's not going to ask you when you get to heaven at the gate? Now, what was that word? Deoxyribonucleic acid. DNA, packaged in 46 chromosomes. Everybody remember that number, 46. Placed inside the nucleus, which is the most holy place, seen in the 46 boards of the tabernacle. Remember, 20 boards on the north side, 20 on the south side, 6 across the back. And you had a couple extra for corner boards to hold it together. But you have 46 boards there in that tabernacle where that book was. And that matches your DNA absolutely spot on perfectly. Okay? Here's what we know about DNA. Number one, it's rolled in a helix form, which means twisted. Okay? The Bible word for that is crooked. But you think about that. Because there's a verse in the Bible that says, can that which is crooked, you know that verse, be made straight? See, it's crooked right now, isn't it? There actually is a time when this book, which is twisted, crooked, is made straight. Okay? Where do we get there? It has two spines. Okay? Right here, this purple part here. If we were to untwist it, what would it look like? A ladder. Can you think of a story in the Bible that had a ladder in it? Do you think it has anything to do with this? It does. It does. Okay? Anyway, these two spines here, this purple part, the legs of the ladder, as it were, they're made of two things, sugar and phosphorus. Does anybody know what phosphorus, why they call it phosphorus? What does phosphorus do? Lights up. You ever seen a tracer bullet? They dip it in phosphorus so that when it fires at night, you can see where the bullet went. Phosphorus is light. Sugar. What is it that our cells need that goes into the cell wall? Sugar. Okay? And they're linked together. These two spines here, they're linked together. See these different colors here? Yellow and blue, red and green. Okay? This is how this side, this rung, this leg, is attached to this leg. It's done so by these four chemical compounds. Yellow, blue, green, red. Their names, let's see if I got their names pulled up here. Adenine, guanine, cytosine, I'm getting this wrong here, because there's rules, and I'll explain that in a minute. Let's say adenine and thymine is yellow and blue. The green one, let's say that's guanine, and let's say the red is cytosine. Okay, you don't have to remember this. But how many did I just mention? Four. And I want you to think about this. Okay? Here is one leg. Here is another leg. It's joined together by different combinations. Notice that on this side you have red here and you have green here. Down here you have red here and green here. As you look at this, is there ever a place where a red is connected to a blue or a yellow? No. Because the yellow, what did we say the yellow was? Adenine, thymine. Yellow is always attached to blue. Here it is here. Here it is here. Yellow, blue. Blue and yellow. Doesn't matter what combination it is. It's either blue or yellow. And then down here, it's always green and red. Guanine always links to cytosine. There's rules here. You'll never find a time where thymine is attached to guanine. And you'll never find cytosine attached to adenine. Though that doesn't work. It's like putting a square peg in a round hole. Does everybody understand that? It's like putting the wrong parts of an engine in the wrong place. It won't work. That's how this is designed. Okay? And I'm showing you all this for a reason. You're going to like, because this, believe it or not, this rule that I just gave you is in your Bible. The combination of these four different compounds tying these two things together, that's in your Bible. In fact, you've looked at it, you've seen it for years. It's been right in front of you, but you've never known, because you didn't know, we don't know DNA 50 years ago. Nobody knows this 50 years ago. We know it now. And when I saw it, I went, I know what that is. I know exactly what that is, okay? So look up here on the screen. Oh, there's the colors right there. Cytosine's yellow. Those colors don't match this. Don't pay attention to that, okay? Think of it like this. When these two, they're called base pairs. They're always paired together. This is like Adam and this is like Eve, okay? Or this is like Mike Hoggard and Sweetie Pie, okay? You always see us together. Amen? This is why you ought not ever see a man with somebody else's sweetie pie. Amen. The rules are written into your DNA that if it's this guy, it must be this gal. Amen. And if it's this guy, it will never be this guy. Amen. Let me show it to you like this. When you have three of these connections in a row, you have what's called an amino acid. It makes an amino acid. The amino acids, think of them as letters in the alphabet. Think of them as, what's up here on the screen? What do you see? Who in here, does anybody know Morse code? Other than? That's SOS. That's all I know. But it operates that same way, right? Okay? So think of the combination of three base pairs as like Morse code or an alphabet. Because let's say that these three make the letter C. And these three make the letter A. And these three make the letter T. What do I have? Cat. You know when you hear on the radio that scientists have discovered the gene that causes like women to have cancer? You hear stuff like that all the time on the news, right? You know how they discovered that? That's because a few years ago they realized that these jumbled connections were not jumbled. They actually formed the letters of a genetic alphabet, and the letters in the right sequence actually made a sentence or words from those letters in that alphabet, and they call them genes. You have genes that give... Who's blonde here? Okay? Whoever's got blonde hair... You've got genes that make blonde hair. You've got words and sentences in your DNA that spell out Blondie. Okay? Some of you have letters and sentences in your DNA that say thick, bushy, curly hair. Some of you have genes in your alphabet that says thick, bushy, curly hair until they hit 40. Amen? And then erase the thick, curly, bushy hair. That's how they learned, the scientists learned how to read the letters. Then they learned how to read the words. Then they found out they were organized in sentences. Okay? Let me put it up on the screen. So let's say that three combinations of these base pairs makes one amino acid. Or let's say it makes the letter B. Are you in Psalm 119? I want you to open it up and I want you to look at something. Right above verse 1, what does it say? Aleph. Right above verse 9, what does it say? Beth. It's the Hebrew alphabet. Psalm 119 is divided up by the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Here's the neat thing. In the Hebrew, when I guess David wrote this psalm, by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, the very first word in Hebrew that he wrote in verse 1 started with Aleph. And he wrote 8 lines, and then the very first word that he wrote in Hebrew in verse 9 started with Beth. Then he wrote 8 lines. And then the next verse is what? Daleth? The very first word in verse 17 started out with Gimel. And then down, Daleth. And then so on and so on until you get to, is it Tav? The last one, Psalm 170, 119, 176. It's Tav. So you have Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Daleth, and then all the way down to the letter Tav. That means in those 8 verse sections, the first word in every section started with that Hebrew letter. By inspiration of the Holy Ghost, that's how David did it. Here's something else that is just interesting me. I don't know what it means yet. The book of Lamentations. Turn over there. Book of Lamentations. By the way, you know what I think that means? I absolutely believe it means that your Bible has an order to it. God did not just splash words up against a wall like modern art. He ordered His Word. He put everything in order. If you look in the book of Lamentations, chapter 1, how many verses does it have? 22. Every verse in Lamentations 1 starts out with, the first one starts out with Aleph, second one starts out with Beth, third one starts out with Gimel, fourth one starts out with Daleth, and so on down to verse 22. The first, in Hebrew, the first word starts out with Tav. It follows an order following the Hebrew alphabet. Chapter 2 has 22 verses in it. It does the exact same thing. Chapter 3 has 66 verses in it. Every third verse starts out with the corresponding Hebrew letter. Back to chapter 4, you're back to 22 verses. Every verse in Hebrew starts out with that Hebrew letter. And then chapter 5, 22 verses, same thing. God put that in order. Do you believe that? I believe that everything in my Bible is still in order. Remember what we learned last night when we found out that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? We found out that that was in the 46th book of the Bible, 1 Corinthians. Did I tell you last night about Adam's life, 930 years? And the 930th chapter of the Bible is Matthew chapter 1, and it says, "In this is the book of the generation of Jesus Christ." God put that in order. And I have a lot more of that stuff I could show you about this Bible. God did not give it to those men in the originals and then took His hands off and went on vacation. God has ordered and structured the very formation of our Bible so that it is... Listen, if He requires our churches to have everything done decently and in order, why would our Bible be mixed up? If we're to do it by the book, our book's not mixed up. And they found out, neither is this. Because it goes in order. By the way, I'm teaching you the Hebrew alphabet. How many letters did we say was in there?
22.
Guess what? Remember, when these three make what's called an amino acid, and the amino acids are the letters of the genetic alphabet that determine, that write out in sentence form how your body is to be made. Guess how many amino acids there are? 22 exactly. So God not only wrote this book, He wrote it in Hebrew. He wrote it in the same order as He gave Moses to write it in that rolled up book that He put in the Ark of the Covenant in the most holy place, just like the DNA is in the nucleus of your cell. Wow. You ready to stand and be dismissed?
No.
Good, because I'm not done. See it? Look up there. Do you see it? This rolled up book is this rolled up book. Whew. I'm liking it. Jeremiah 36:2. Take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee. And in your DNA, it is a rolled up book, and it has every word that God wanted you to be and to have. Wow. Including, not only that, but you have in your DNA every body that is going to come out of your body. Every child, grandchild, great-grandchild, great-great-grandchild. For 1,000 generations, you have carried in your body their DNA. Isn't that cool? Thou shalt... you're going to like that. How many letters did we say in the Hebrew alphabet?
22.
How many amino acids?
22.
Here's the Ark of the Covenant. God told him exactly how He wanted him to make it. Right down to the 2 cubits and a half shall be the length, and 1.5 cubits the breadth, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. God was very specific about 2 cubits, 2.5 cubits, 1.5 cubits. So that made me wonder, because I said, God, what does that mean? So I took the measurements. I outlined and measured every angle, every line on the Ark of the Covenant. And I came up with 22 cubits total length of every line on the Ark of the Covenant. Every square line, the top, sides, bottom, and the two sides, total up to 22 cubits exactly. And God put this book, written in 22 letters, 22 amino acids, inside of that. That's cool, isn't it? And here's how it's structured. Remember the sugar phosphate legs. Okay, the legs are made of sugar phosphate, and you see the four pairs coming together, adenine, thymine, guanine, cytosine. Notice that it's made of sugar. Notice what your Bible says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. Why? Because this is this, and when you read your Bible, it's sweet. And this is made of sugar. The entrance of thy words giveth light. What is this made of? Phosphorus. So you have two verses in the Bible that tell you that your DNA is both sweet and it has light in it. Just like the scientists found out about 40 years ago. They're way behind as far as I'm concerned. Amen?
Amen.
Look at this. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth. How? It's because it's made of sugar. This is on my neat list, and it's hard to get on that list. Somebody sent me this, and I went,
oh, yeah.
Remember the entrance of thy words giveth light. Remember that verse? They just found out the moment that the man's seed enters into the woman, the exact moment that happens, it lights up. Because the entrance of thy words give light.
That's true.
See, I would go, woo! Well, that'll work. Amen will work. Look at this. Now think about that. Every time a child is conceived, the light comes on. Now watch this in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. It's there in the Bible. And the Word, see this? You know what this is? This is the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You see, there's a connection between this book, and Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's the phosphate of it. Here's the structure. We saw that 930th chapter. That's the comparison I did last night. Talked a little bit about tonight. Now watch this. Remember, let's look at it like this. In fact, take your Bible like this. Okay. And I want you to notice, remember the candlestick last night had 66 decorations on it. So here's what you have. Let's go to the last book of the Old Testament. Find it. Okay? Last book of the Old Testament, Malachi. Okay? Here's Malachi. Here's the end of the Old Testament. Then I want you to flip over and I want you to turn to the book of Acts. Okay? Like this. Okay? So here is the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, if I were to say this is what Bible typology is. Typology says that there's pictures in the Bible of all the doctrines in the Bible. Okay? If Paul taught this in 1 Corinthians 10. You remember there was a rock that followed Israel in the wilderness? Who was that rock? It was Christ. He was there. Jesus was there with them. But they didn't know that it was Jesus. They just saw water coming out of it. They didn't understand. In the New Testament, we have it explained to us that that rock was Christ. Now we understand. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay, here we had a lamb that had to be spotless. It had to be 1 year old. And it had to be slain. And its blood had to be applied so that the people in that house would not die. They had Jesus, the lamb, with them. But they didn't know it. Here we find out that it was Jesus, and now we understand it, correct? So here we have the Old Testament displaying Christ, but they can't make sense out of it. Here we have the New Testament revealing Christ, and now we understand it, don't we? So we have the Old Testament and the New Testament, and what has been flapping around here in the middle? Four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Let me do it like this. Adenine, guanine, cytosine, thymine. Because in DNA, what binds the two legs together is four base pairs. Just like in your Bible, you have four books that plainly reveal who the rock was, who the lamb was, what the blood was about, what the sacrificial atonement was for. You have everything shown right here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then you have this tied in with this perfectly. Isn't that sweet? Watch this. Here's death because it's the law. We broke the law. We should have death. Here's eternal life. Here's the New Jerusalem. Amen. What brought it? Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have passed from death to life. Well, that's good. That's good. Amen. This is none other than the Word of God, even how it's built. Old Testament, New Testament, four Gospels that bring it all together and give life to everyone who will receive it. Amen. This is the book of the generations of Adam. Where am I going with this? Okay, watch this. Because Adam, begat a son in his likeness and after his image. Now watch this, preacher. This is evangelism 101. I'm going to teach you a very simple course on evangelism. Are you ready? In your body, right now, right this very second, you have cells that are doing this. It's called mitosis. Okay? Just think of mitosis. Okay? Mitosis. Mitosis is cell division. Every cell divides and makes a brand new cell. Y'all remember that from grade school? Okay? This is simple biology stuff. Every cell in your body, before it dies, it makes a copy of itself, and that cell makes copies of itself, and that's how you see our cells are constantly dying, but the new cells that we made are making more new cells, so we stay alive for a while. Okay? So look up here. When the cell is going to divide and make a new cell, it's like this church bringing someone to a meeting. That someone gets under conviction. They come down here to the altar. They ask Jesus into their heart. God cleanses them from the sin. What happens is they are born again of incorruptible seed. Because this man planted this book in their dirt. What were we made of?
Dirt.
This book was planted, this seed was planted in that soul. And that soul was born again. And now that soul says, I'm saved. Give me a Bible. I need to hear some more of that preaching. I'm going to go burn my Willie Nelson CDs up. And Garth Brooks. And AC/DC. And Porter Wagner. You've got some of the records. He's from West Plains. I know you do. Watch this. When that cell divides to a new cell, you know what it does? This DNA splits in half. And this leg here with these, with this half of the base pair system is transferred over to the new cell. Now, here's the problem. This old cell has only half a copy. The new cell has only half a copy. Remember that? How then does the new cell and the old cell put the book all back together again? Do you remember the rules? Here's the rules. If this is thymine, this has to be adenine. So when the cell is following this line here and it sees thymine here, it knows that it's going to put adenine right here. And when it sees cytosine here, it knows that it has to be guanine there. That's the only thing that'll fit right there. And what it's able to do is piece together perfectly the entire, over 1 billion of these in your DNA. And every cell in your body does this perfectly, almost every time a cell divides and makes a new one. Because of these one simple rule. Adenine, thymine, guanine, cytosine. Okay? Watch this. Here's the Apostle Paul. He writes his letters. He goes out and he teaches the doctrine and he makes converts. Then those converts take what Paul gave them and they go out and they make more converts. It's been working now for 2,000 years. Just like in your body. They'll both have the same book, same copy. Okay, there's the rules right there. If it's adenine, it must be thymine. If it's guanine, it must be cytosine. That formula is written in your Bible. Isaiah 34:16, seek ye out the book of the Lord.
Amen.
None of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. Thymine is the mate to adenine. Guanine is the mate to cytosine. We did this just a while ago. If I see a rock in the wilderness in the Old Testament, I know because there's a mate in the New Testament that tells me that that rock was Christ and they go together. As you read your Bible, read a little bit of Old Testament, read a little bit of New Testament, Go back to some Old Testament. Read some New Testament. And what's going to happen is, in your mind, the Holy Ghost, because you're going to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. And the Holy Ghost is going to tie things together in your mind, and you're going to see things you never see. It's going to make sense. It's going to click. You remember the story of David and Goliath? Remember that story? Did you know that was a prophecy? Did you know that that story is going to happen for real one of these days? Let me explain it to you. David. Think of who David was. What was David's occupation at the time that he fought Goliath?
Shepherd.
Who's the shepherd?
Israel.
Jesus. Jesus. Amen. Who's standing there in that field facing the giant? Jesus. Who is Goliath? He's 6 cubits tall. He's got a spearhead weighs 600 shekels of brass, and his brother had 6 fingers on each hand, 6 toes on each foot. He's got sixes all over him. Who is he? Did you know in Revelation 13, John said the Antichrist, the beast that rose up out of the sea, had 7 heads, 10 horns. He looked like a lion and a bear and a leopard, and the dragon gave him his power. You know what David said out of his mouth, David said concerning Goliath? Thy servant slew both the lion and a bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as them. And who won? David! How? He put a deadly wound in Goliath's head. And you read Revelation 13, the beast had a deadly wound in one of his heads.
Amen.
They're mated together, aren't they? You're going to read that, but you're going to go home and you're going to go, look at there. Look at there! Look at there! Trust me, my wife saw me do this when God started showing me this about 16 years ago. It scared, I'd go, whoa! And it'd scare her to death. Because I was going, she's going, do you need medicine? What's wrong with you? What it was, got all these stories I learned in Sunday school, God was clicking them together in my mind about how they're mated with New Testament doctrine. Noah's flood. It's going to happen again. Where did the water come from in the days of Noah? Two places. It fell down from heaven and it came up from the earth. Do you know the book of Revelation tells us that an invasion is going to take place? 1/3 of the angels are going to come from where? They're going to fall down to the earth, and then the beast and a legion of devils are going to come up out of the pit in Revelation chapter 9. Just like in the days of Noah. Do you see the rules there? None shall want her mate. Amen? You're going to read your Bible brand spanking new. That old King James Bible. You got one?
Yeah.
Read it. Because you're going to see things you never saw before. You're going to study things. You're going to see a rock. You're going to see a lamb. You're going to see a soldier. You're going to see a captain. You're going to see a shepherd. You're going to see a man who has long hair of a woman in the face of a man. That's in Revelation 9. You're going to see locusts and scorpions in the Old Testament and understand in the New Testament what they're showing you. You're going to connect things together you never understood before. Okay? Aren't you glad you came tonight? Aren't you glad you know me?
Yes.
Look at this. This is how it is. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. For even Christ our Passover. See how they're mated together? Here's another one. The lion and the bear. I just showed you that. That's Revelation 13. Oh, you don't like this. Get ready. You get a King James, get your Bible out. Get your King James Bible out. Turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. I'm telling you, this is in order, and the scientists know it. And here's my thing. Everything that the scientists learn about DNA disproves evolution.
That's right.
They can't figure out how this book got in the order that it did, out of nothing. Because let me tell you something. It's something I didn't tell you yet. If you look down in your Bible, you'll see that where a verse starts. And if you look at the end of that verse, normally there's going to be a period there. That's just common grammar. We have sentences in English. We know that a sentence starts with a capital letter, and what does it end with? Period. Did you know that in your DNA, the scientists found out, they kept seeing a repeated pattern of base pairs. And they didn't understand why, after so long, they'd see that same pattern again. And then they'd move down and see that same pattern again. Then it clicked. They discovered that right here, there's what's called a start codon. And what that means is, this three whatever sequence here was a capital letter at the beginning of a sentence of genes. And then as they read down, they understood what these base pairs and these amino acids did, because they found the end, there was what's called a stop codon, a period at the end of the sentence. They knew then that the next gene sequence started here and came down, and when they saw the stop codon, they knew that that gene sequence was over and a new gene sequence was starting. Your DNA is written just like a book. Who wrote it? God did. There's rules. God's rules. You know what he said? He said it in two places. He said it in Deuteronomy. He said it in Revelation. You shall not add to nor take away from the words that are in this book. When I tell you why that's so important, okay, you're going to be shocked. Watch this. Genesis chapter 2, verse 23. Adam said, notice I have the verse, these words underlined. This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Notice that I have all those words underlined. Okay? I have a reason for that. It's because what Adam said, recorded in your King James Bible, was exactly 46 words. Remember how many chromosomes? 46. And notice what he said. Because what he said was basically him and Eve making a baby. Because remember, Adam donated 23 chromosomes. Eve donated 23 chromosomes. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. We know what that is. And they shall be one baby, one child, who is the recipient of the 46 chromosomes given by Adam and Eve. All right there in your King James Bible. DNA in the Bible. When you see these words in your Bible, the Word of God, think DNA. When you see the word book, think DNA. When you see the word seed, DNA, judgment, statutes, law, words of a book, think DNA. Because all of those will apply and have an application to what science now knows about DNA. Luke 8:11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. What do we call this? Seed. What is in every seed you planted? DNA. What is it? The Word of God, because God wrote it. It's creation. What does Monsanto do with seeds now? They don't just sell them. They don't just buy them from farmers and sell them. What do they do with them? They say the words of the corn DNA don't work anymore. There's errors in it. So what we're going to do is we're going to take some of the words out of the corn's DNA and we're going to replace it with something else so that the corn grows bigger and has more ears and is resistant to this bug. And these, and we can spray this on the land and it won't kill this stalk. So they modify God's book. Does God condone that?
No.
No. That's corruptible seed. That's not incorruptible seed. You see the difference? See what I'm just going to tell you right now, I am setting you up big time for something I don't know when I'm going to tell you. Okay? But I am setting you up wholeheartedly to tell you that if God wrote the book, we don't add to the words and we don't take away from them.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. God beat the fire out of me one day over that issue. Mike, don't change the words of the book that I gave you. Because my wife will tell you, the first pastorate I had, that was my deal. I was constantly giving them Greek lessons every sermon and correcting the Bible. Just like Monsanto. And God took a rod to my backside and whooped me so hard, I said, I will never do that. And I'll never do that again, God. Promise. And I haven't since. Look at this, Acts 12:24. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Because that's what DNA does. You can't stop DNA from doing what it's supposed to do. Pastor, let me encourage you in something. You preach this book. You put this book into their ears. And I'm telling you, you won't be able to stop God's word growing in their lives. It doesn't matter if there's five people sitting here. God is always doing something when you preach this book to this cornfield. He's the planter. You're the cornfield. You're the vineyard. Amen? The grapes get their DNA from the vine. The vine does not get its instructions from the grapes. Boy, this is so good. Amen? The word of God increased and the number of disciples multiplied. What increased? Because they had a soul winning program? No. Those guys preached the word of God, and God added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. So I want to tell you something. Listen, I am the recipient of whippings of God as a pastor. Yes, amen. Woodshed experience. Because when I first took, I grew up in my church, Bethel Church. I've been there since 1974. I grew up in that church. And when I first became pastor in 1996, a few months after that was Easter Sunday, and we had like a whopping 128 people in the service. And I walked through the foyer one day, going in the sanctuary, going to my office, and looked at that number on the board, and I said to myself, I must be doing a good job. And the moment I stepped inside our sanctuary, God grabbed me by the shirt collar, threw me down at the altar, and said, who do you think you are? I am the one who brings them in, and I am the one who takes them out, not you. And if you think any different, I'll gladly put you out and bring somebody in here that I can work with. I'm telling you, God whooped the fire out of me. But you know what he did, preacher? God relieved from me the ideology that if that church was going to do anything, I had to perform and do it. That's what God relieved me of the burden. It wasn't my responsibility. It's not. Now, I'm only going to say this to show you, here's what God will do. That was the last time we had 128, I guarantee you, in that church service. And over the years, it dwindled down. But here's what God was doing. God was filling me with all this stuff that I'm showing you tonight. God was just pouring this stuff into me. And then we started reaching out on the internet. And then pretty soon, we started streaming live. And we would have like 70 in the pews. And then there would be 400 families watching online. And then that grew to 800 and 900 families at a time watching online. And then that grew, the DVD ministry goes out. We send out about 5,000, 6,000, 8,000 DVDs a month out of our church. And then that grew into an FM radio station in Northwest Kenya. And about 100,000 Kenyans listen to us every day. And now my son-in-law is over there starting our next FM radio station. And there's about 150,000 more in that area that we can reach in the gospel. And I still got about 80 people sitting in the pews and untold thousands that I'm preaching to every hour of the day. God said, Mike, if you'll let me do it, I'll do it better than you can. Because the word of God will always increase. Just like you can't stop young married couples from popping out kids. Amen? You can't stop them. You can't stop this DNA from multiplying cells, and you can't stop this Bible from growing. Listen, you guys, that who plants here? Who farms? Who plants crops? You put the seed in the ground in spring. Pray for rain. And then in harvest, you go out and get it. There's not much more that you had to do once you put that seed in the ground. It does automatically what it's supposed to do. You just plant and then go pick it up. Amen? Amen. That's your church growth program right there. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. Oh, no, excuse me. We got an NIV here. We better not. But anyway. I'm setting you up. Listen. God said, don't change this. Monsanto and every seed company I know of is in the business of altering the genetics of everything they can get their hands on, including cows, pigs, goats, sheep, chickens, anything that consumers eat. They're in the business of altering its genetic structure to make it bigger, to make more of it, to make more money. See, the love of money really is the root of all this evil, is it not? Okay? Why do mega churches exist? Why are these bloated churches with 20, 30,000 people in them? Why? Because that pastor gets paid better than anybody else does. Not being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. See, you were born once with this seed, born twice with this one. Okay? Man, it's called the word of life. Look at there, Philippians 2:16, 1 John 1:1, it's the word of life. It's the book of the law, book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Man, I don't have time to get into all this. It's almost time for Matlock, some of you guys. Get home, watch, all right? I'll try to get you. Listen, when we travel around in our trailer, the best thing we can do is turn our television on and let it scan for the channels and those new HD channels that come out, grit and all that. I like that stuff. Okay? So I told my wife today, I woke up watching them Westerns on grit, and I told my wife, I said, I could see me retiring and sitting in a chair and just watching this stuff all day long going. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? So what does that mean? If you take something out of here, is it every word of God then? If you take one gene out of this book, is it every word of God? No. It doesn't qualify anymore. So what will it bring? If it doesn't bring life, what will it bring? Okay? Oh, I don't know if I got time for all this. There we go. Hang on a second. 46th book of the Bible, 46th chapter of the Old Testament. It gives the lineage of Jacob and talks about his seed. 46th chapter of the Old Testament. That's Genesis 46. Man, I know I'm skipping a lot, but watch this now. Hebrew, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. It has 22 letters in its alphabet. The New Testament was written in Greek. It has 24 letters in its alphabet. Somebody add those up. 46. Your Bible was written in a total combined volume of 46 letters total. God did that to show you that this book is this book. What does that look like to you? Listen. There's 300 people online right now, and they didn't hear what you said. I'm going to tell them. He said, looks like a crappie jig. And I'm looking at some of you guys going, yeah, I see that. What is that? You have a cross in every cell of your body. What was hanging on the cross? The Word. The Word was hanging on the cross, people. And you have that in every cell of your body. Okay? That Bible's something else. Amen? I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ, the Word, liveth in me. This is more than just a combination of the right chemicals. This is the Word of God. This is Jesus living and abiding in you. Makes you a little bit more unique now, doesn't it? And didn't Paul say that Christ was all and in all and in y'all? You all. Right here. Okay? Said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now let me explain this part. We've got some really good things in our DNA. We also have some pretty rotten stuff in our DNA too. We got stuff that has caused us to be things that we don't want to be. Can I hear an amen out of God's people? Paul said, there dwelleth in me no good thing. And even in the Bible, there's good guys and bad guys. And in your Bible, there's good women and there's bad women. See, it's a mix of the two. When you look at the lineage of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, start with Abraham. Abraham was a liar. Judah slept with a whore. And you just go down the lineage and look at the sins and the slime and the mistakes that is in the lineage of Jesus that he inherited. And what did he do with it? Crucified it. Killed it. He took it away by crucifying it. You've got things in you that are not good. And you've got things in you genetically that cause you to be things that now that you know the Bible, you don't want to be them. So this is why you are told, take up your cross daily and follow Jesus. Crucify that stuff. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now I mentioned a while ago, Adam died. But before Adam died, he passed the book down to his sons. And before his sons died, they passed the book down to their sons. And before they died, they passed it down. And you are carrying it in you right now. The book that God put in Adam still exists in the same form and fashion that it was put in Adam 6,000 years ago. Isn't that neat? I'm here to tell you, this book is not wrong in any way, shape, or form. As holy men of God wrote it, they knew that one of these days they were going to pass off the scene. So you know what was done? Copies were made, just like children. And then copies were made. And then copies were made of that copy. And then copies were made of that copy. Until it fell in the hands of 54 men in 1604 who took those copies and revered them as the very words of God and then translated them into a language that you and I can understand. And we have this Bible intact for us this day as incorruptible as it's ever been. Now that might blow some of you away because you were told, well, all the translations have mistakes in it. I don't believe any translation's inspired. Read that verse to me. Read the verse in the Bible that says God's word would ever be corrupt, would ever be impure or have a mistake in it. You'll not find it. So, with your permission, tomorrow night, I'm going to present to you why this Bible is the only Bible that I read, study, think about, meditate on, share, witness with, preach out of, and get glory from. I'm going to show you some things that'll make you weep or it'll make you mad. You'll have to decide. Because, brother, if they just figured out now how to really alter DNA and take a bunch of stuff out that they don't like. They just figured that out. Scholars have been doing that with the Bible for years. Okay? With your permission, I'll share that tomorrow night.